Good morning. It's Friday, and we know that not too far away is a Friday called Good Friday. And seeing we're looking towards Easter, I'm thinking of that. I hope it's started well for you this Friday. It certainly has for me. It looks beautiful out there. And there is the joy of Jesus in our hearts. We've been looking at what it was like before the fall, as far as God is concerned, as far as Adam is concerned, and Eve, and then what went wrong. Finally, what did God do about it? And we were rejoicing over God's perfect plan in action, demonstrating his love through the giving of the most precious gift of all, his perfect son. That was yesterday. Now, all of this spells Easter now, doesn't it? But so does what lies ahead for us. More cause for rejoicing. Just let me remind you that tonight at 6:30, we meet again to worship and praise and to seek God's mind for the year that lies ahead. There's a story that a friend of mine told me which comes to mind. You know, we've been talking about the blood of Jesus shed for us, and there are many songs. Think of one that goes, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Well, she said when her little daughter Shion was about 4 or so, they'd been singing and talking about blood in the church, and she disappeared. So Corinne went to look for her, and she found her in a corner crying, and she said, now what's wrong? She said, I don't want to be washed in blood. Well, there we go. We do want to be washed in blood, metaphorically speaking. You know, all of this that we've been looking at, we need to admit that we can only understand so much. And that makes me think of the wonderful passage, which is Job 38. And I'm just going to read two verses to you. There's verse 4 and verse 22. And God is speaking to Job, and God is saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or seen the storehouses of hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? We went there. We see and understand so little. Best we are wise enough to acknowledge that, but to know that he who is omniscient and knows all has it all in his hands. I was teaching in a high school, Forest High School in Johannesburg in 1968, and one day in my English class I noticed one of the boys had brought his swimming togs along with him. So I said to him, and now what about these togs? He said, I heard that today the world is going to end, and I'm going to swim for it. Well, on that note, that's an introduction to Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Well, we certainly are hearing about wars and rumors of wars. Right now, Russia is posturing to invade Ukraine, and the USA and others are flexing their muscles. And I think of the Afrikaans, it says it so well. Kaiku brom hulle amal. It talks about the beginnings of birth pains. And I ask myself the question, just how long are they going to take? Let's remember that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. There's also something here that, again, is just the love of God. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, verse 6, but see to it that you are not alarmed. In his hands, it is possible for us not to be not alarmed. Well, verse 9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. I think during the last century, I'm not sure of my facts, but I think it was said that more Christians were put to death than ever before in that century. Verse 10, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. There's warning in that, isn't there? There are many deceptions out there, scams, as your cell phone will call them. Verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Once again, a loving Heavenly Father, because he cares, stepping out in our behalf and protecting us by cutting those days short. Verse 23, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. Who was it whose name means deceiver? Satan? Satan at work? Well, verse 27. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of man. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. What amazing outpouring of love from God. Verse 36, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We are to live every day as if it is our last. I remember the story of an old bishop we knew, who every morning when he got up, flung open the curtains in his bedroom and declared, "O Lord, are you coming today?" Another passage very helpful to us is 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Many, many of us are grieving, and God knows, and so he refers to it here. But he also reminds us of the wonderful truth. We are not as those without hope. Verse 14, for we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Some of us can name quite a few, and some of us are just waiting for this. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, glorious, glorious! And so we will be with the Lord forever. On our recent holiday, we flew to and Syria, then drove to Pretoria, then drove from Pretoria to Leidenburg. And on that journey, I pulled off because we needed to fill up the car and we needed a pit stop, and walked to the restrooms, and to my total amazement, saw that all the toilet doors were decorated with a crowd of people, pretty attractive colors. And it reminded me, and so it reminds me again right now, that we are not on our journey alone. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We've been looking towards Easter. If we want to recap the real main points, we remember from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life that it's not about you. We remember the opening words in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. We remember what God is like. It's indescribable. There's a song about the never-ending, something, something, reckless love of God. We then remember what it is that lies ahead for us. Brennan Manning wrote this, Christ-like character, be he holy as I am holy. That's the standard. God's purpose or goal is that all day and every day we are being shaped into the image of Christ. Everything that happens to us is designed to this end. We know that the plan is coming together. It has never faltered through its ages and centuries. It expresses who God is. It cannot fail. There was a TV program, I think I've mentioned this before, called, I don't know what it was called, I think it was called The A-Team, but there was a line in it which appeared just about in every single episode, and it was the words, I love it when a plan comes together. The successful completion of God's plan, the return of Christ, and new heavens and a new earth. What a prospect. Look what lies ahead. There was a chorus we used to sing as children, joy, 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 with joy my heart is ringing. My sins are all forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven, so I'm filled with this joy, joy, joy. Today, let's go to Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26, and let's pray this over us and anyone we can think of. And we thank the Lord for the encouragement of all that he has taught us. Dear Lord, we pray that you bless us and keep us, that you make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us, that you turn your face toward us and give us peace. Amen.